Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that your word is so strong that it cannot be broken. We thank you that your word is truth, and we ask you to teach us by your Holy Spirit today. Lord, we ask you to cause your word to come into our minds and to pierce our hearts. Use it, Father, that the Spirit may convict us of our sins and assure us of your forgiveness to all who truly repent. Oh God, through this word, bring us to faith in Christ and greater faith, we pray. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10, page 618 in the Pew Bible. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, page 618, as we continue in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Let us hear God's holy word. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And this ends the reading of God's holy word, and today I want to speak to you on the theme that salvation is of the Lord, which you already know, or I hope you know already. But it won't hurt us to review this topic and especially see it in light of these verses from the inspired letter to the church at Ephesus. Salvation is of the Lord. Now I can look at my paycheck and I hope I can say, I've earned it. I can look at my seminary degree and say, I've earned it. By the way, I can also say I could have done better. But when I consider my salvation, I cannot say I earned it. It was a gift from the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. That's a direct quote from Jonah 2, verse 9. Yeah. Even in the Old Testament, right? Jonah 2, verse 9 says, salvation is of the Lord. And in fact, continuing in the Old Testament, Psalm 3, verse 8 says, salvation belongs to the Lord. Psalm 3, verse 8. This is the subject of the passage of Scripture before us. Salvation is the Lord's to give. We do not save ourselves. We do not contribute to our salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. So let's try to remember that. But what is salvation? It's rescue. It's deliverance. To be saved means that you were saved from something. There was a situation in which you needed help, and you could not extricate yourself from that situation. I heard a news report about a man who fell in another man's grave. And firemen had to come and pull him out. That's ironic, isn't it? For someone to fall in someone else's grave before they're dead. And he couldn't get himself out. It was too deep. Well, this is an even more serious situation than that. All people unless they know Jesus Christ, live desperate, miserable lives. All people who don't know Christ are miserable. They're in the misery of their sins. We, you and I, in fact, were lost in the sea of sin. And we did not have a life jacket. Someone had to rescue us. We couldn't do it ourselves. We were enslaved to sin, to Satan, and our own lusts. We were condemned in the sight of God, and we were bound for hell. Jesus saves His people from their sins. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. You've heard that before. You know that's the gospel, but can you ever stop loving it? Can you ever stop loving Him for what He has done for you? The father in the parable saw his son come back home. And he said, "This, my son, was lost, but now is found." That's what happens to Christians spiritually. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We were in misery, without peace, without hope. Until the Lord Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, brought home straying sheep. Till the good shepherd saved us. We were lost, and we needed to be saved. So today, consider with me, salvation is of the Lord. On the back page of your bulletin, you'll see the outline. It goes like this. First, God saves His people by grace. Secondly, God saves His people through faith, not works. And thirdly, God's salvation leads to good works. First of all, God saves His people by grace. And so verse 8 says, "By grace you have been saved through faith." You have been saved, you Ephesian Christians, by grace. You've been saved, you Westchester OPC Christians and all Christians, you've been saved by grace. You know, there isn't much grace in this world between human beings. We have to earn about everything we get. Now and then, a spouse or someone do something kind for us. Or maybe our spouse will do a lot of kind things for us. But human beings in general aren't gracious. In fact, human beings in particular aren't gracious. But God is. Grace is God's favor shown to the utterly undeserving. It is His unmerited favor. Grace is His goodwill, His loving kindness. In particular, grace is God's favor or loving kindness shown to people in spite of what they deserve. God is kind to us. God saves us out of grace, out of love. He does not like we all think, or maybe we don't all think this, but when I was growing up, and ever since I've been in the ministry, this sentiment has been all around me, and that is, be good and you'll go to heaven. Be bad and you'll go to hell. My friends, that's not the gospel. That's not what the Bible teaches. God saves us by grace. He has to. None of us can earn it. None of us do enough good to earn it. We're sinful by nature. We can't generate good on our own. It's not in our being. You see, we had a forefather and his name was Adam. And Adam represented us in the garden. And Adam sinned. And then he had children, he and Eve. Those two sinners produced other sinners, you see. And we're sinners too. And we cannot save ourselves. Salvation is by grace. So grace and salvation is particularly opposed to works. They are diametrically opposed. There is no mixture in salvation of grace and works. It's all grace. So Romans 11, 5 and 6 says, even so then at this present time there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if it is by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. Romans 11, 5 and 6. If we're saved by grace, then it cannot be by works. I don't care if you kept a notebook from the time you could write and you wrote down all of your good works and you presented them to God at Judgment Day. I don't care if you could count up 1,000 good things you did in your life that is good in general, helping other people. They will not get you into heaven. And all those jokes about St. Peter at the Golden Gates, they're worse than jokes. First of all, Peter is not the one who lets you in. And secondly, getting into heaven is no joke. It's the most important thing in your life. But you can't get there by showing a record of your works. You've got a bad record. If I had done a notebook like that since I could write at 5 years old, it would be blank of all my good works. You see? Grace is supremely revealed in Jesus Christ, of course. John 1, 16 and 17 says, and of His fullness we have all received in grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John 1, 16 and 17. All Christians receive grace from Jesus Christ. Acts 15, 11 says, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Acts 15, 11, both Jew and Gentile are saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't do it on our own. We don't even do part of it on our own. We don't even do 1% of it on our own. 2 Corinthians 8, 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might become rich. The Lord Jesus Christ left heaven and came down to earth for His people and lived among sinners and took all their abuse to the point of execution. That's grace, my friends. You want to see grace? Look into the face of Jesus Christ. Then you'll see grace. God saves His people by grace as a gift. As verse 8 says, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. You may have received some remarkable gifts in your life, but none as wonderful as this. And none will ever compare to the gift of salvation through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what do well-mannered Christians say when they are given a gift? They say, "Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your grace." Secondly, God saves His people through faith, not works. Verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." For a person to be saved, God gives him or her grace, and then he or she believes. She has faith. She exercises this faith. God saves His people through faith. And faith is trusting in Jesus Christ to begin with. We'll fill this out some more. Faith is trusting in Jesus Christ. This trust goes beyond what we may speak of in everyday terms, for we may say, "Do you believe Barack Hussein Obama is the President of the United States?" Yes, I believe that. This goes beyond an affirmation. This goes beyond knowing this in our minds. This faith involves commitment. You see. I may say, "I trust, I have faith in my heart." Well, on your trip out to California, are you going to drive your car? Oh no, I wouldn't take that thing that far. Not much faith, is it? This faith involves a commitment. It isn't just mental assent. It is not just mental affirmation. It involves a commitment. See. If we have faith in Christ, we trust Him. We rely on Him. We depend on Him. We know and confess that we are sinners, and we depend upon Him to deliver us from the consequences of our sins, and to help us through this life and into the next. This involves a commitment to Him. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, there's confession with the mouth, there's belief in the heart. You know, anybody can say, "I believe in Jesus Christ." But do they mean it in their heart? Is there sincerity there? We must trust the Lord Jesus to save us from hell. We must trust Him to save us from damnation. We trust the Lord Jesus to do what we could not do. We trust Him to have lived a perfect life on earth in our place. As I was saying before, your good works and my good works will not get us into heaven. Why is that? Well, I'll get to that more in detail later, but it's not enough. It's not enough. Salvation doesn't come that way. We can't do it. He lived a perfect life in the place of His people, and He never sinned. God says, "Obey my commandments." Jesus did perfectly. We trust Him. But He also went to Calvary's cross and died, taking the punishment that was due to us for our sins. We trust Him to have done that for us. We trust Him to be our Savior. And we stop trusting in ourselves we give up our selfishness to trust Christ and follow Him. Listen to this catechism question. What is faith in Jesus Christ? Faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest upon Him alone for salvation as He is offered to us in the gospel. Faith is not a work that earns salvation. Faith is the instrument that receives it. It is the hand that receives it. God saves His people then through faith. This means we do not save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8 says, that, not of yourselves, is the gift of God. That, not of yourselves, is the gift of God, verse 8. The word that, now, the word that, in the Greek language, has gender. The word that has gender in the Greek language, and it's neuter in gender. But the word faith and the word grace in that verse are feminine in gender. What does that mean? Well, it means in the Greek language they don't match up. And so grammarians say that, the word that in verse 8 does not refer directly to faith, does not refer exactly to grace, because they're different gender. In the grammar. And so some will argue, well, you know, the faith is not a gift according to this grammar, grammatically speaking, but the whole thing is God's gift. Salvation as a whole is God's gift. The grace and faith and everything. That not of yourselves. All of it is not of yourselves, including faith. You see, a dead person cannot believe. Remember chapter 2, verse 1 in Ephesians. You were dead in trespasses and sins. You could not believe. But if we're saved through faith, then how in the world can we be saved? Because God gives us the ability to believe. Ephesians 2:9 says, salvation is not of works, lest anyone should boast. And here we go again. It is commonly believed, I don't know how many times I've heard this common belief a number of times, when someone is going through a crisis. Someone is going through a crisis or someone is nearing death. And I've heard this statement so many times. I don't know why I'm going through this. I have tried to live a good life. Think about that. I have tried to live a good life. You know, Jesus never said, you are the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by you. Did he? I have tried to live a good life. That's just an admission of failure. You see? That's not being complimentary to oneself. It's an admission of failure. The latter part of that sentence is, I have tried to live a good life and utterly failed. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not you are the way. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. The question is not, have you tried to give a good life? The question is, have you given up on trying to live a good life? And have you put your trust in Jesus? Sometimes, you know, in human relationships, one human being will withhold approval, love from another and make these requirements. So you need to do this, do this. And they may not give a list, but you know what you have to do to win their approval. And in some relationships, you know you're never going to win their approval. Don't you? You see, the relationship with God is not like that. The question is not, what have you done? The question is, what has Christ done? And He's done it all. Here is what our good works look like before God. Isaiah 64:6. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. And all our unrighteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Isaiah 64:6. See, we can't earn our way to heaven. We're sinners. We're saved through the instrumentality of faith. And so Paul writes about this concerning Abraham in Romans 4:2-4. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Romans 4:2-4. So we go back to the old hymn. When we come to the Lord, it's like this. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. So no Christian can boast. Ephesians 2:9 says, lest anyone should boast. If we don't boast in ourselves, then you know the one in whom we boast, the Lord Jesus. Thirdly, God's salvation leads to good works. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You know, this reminds me of the first question of the catechism for young children when we were teaching our sons when they were very young, 3 and 5 years old. We began to teach them catechism for young children. And the first question is, who made you? Yeah. And 3-year-olds. 3-year-olds can know that God made you. Question number one, who made you? God. Not difficult. Even a 3-year-old can understand. We are His workmanship. Spiritually now, not just physically, spiritually, we are His workmanship. Well, when I look in a mirror, I don't think so. But our souls are beautiful. And before Christ we stand in and through Jesus Christ. We are His workmanship. American Christianity is in danger here. There's much misunderstanding about what it means to be Christ's disciple. Some people think to become a Christian, no, let's strike that. It appears that some people think merely saying the words, I believe in Jesus Christ, makes a person a Christian. And we in the Presbyterian churches, we have membership classes, you know, and when people are making a profession of faith publicly, we have membership classes and we teach and someone comes before the congregation and the minister asks them questions and they say, I do. And that's the way we receive members, and other churches receive members in other ways as well. But we all know that merely affirming the answer to a set of questions does not make someone a Christian. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. When the Spirit of God creates spiritual life in a person, he or she will want to do more than sign a card or answer questions in order to follow Jesus Christ. God remakes us. We are His workmanship. We are like a work of art, you see, spiritually speaking, that God has done. We are created in Christ Jesus, not separate from Him. We have new life in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is in Christ. The new believer is united to Christ. He has a new relationship, which would lead him or her to answer the questions, sign a card, or whatever. Believers are new creatures in Christ Jesus. For good works. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. We were recreated. We were created spiritually to do good things. Now that we've repented of our sins, now that Christ has come into our lives, now we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do good works, you see. Works are necessary in the Christian life, not for our salvation, but after we've been converted, in order to show that we are children of God and to show our thanks to Him. Titus 3:8 says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Titus 3, verse 8. What are good works? Well, if you look at pop culture, there will be one story as to what good works are. We do not look to pop culture to tell us what are good works. We have another source that's more authoritative, that's more accurate, that's in fact inspired by God to tell us what good works are. God has given us 10 commandments. Keeping of those commandments are good works. We formerly walked in trespasses and sins, but now, new creations in Christ Jesus, we walk in good works. Verse 10 says, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God gives us opportunity to do good works. God has decreed that we do good works. So no Christian can sit back and say, ah, this is great. I became a Christian 40 years ago. Man, I've really enjoyed this. Haven't done a thing since. Really enjoyed it. No. Christ puts us to work. He puts us to work doing good things. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Galatians 6:9-10. And let us not grow weary while doing good, For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6, 9, and 10. So you see the difference? We cannot do good works before we are converted. But after that, we can by the power of the Spirit. And we are to do them, not for salvation, but after salvation. Good works are a part of our discipleship. Salvation is of the Lord. If you're a believer, He made you a new creation. He gave you the gift of salvation by His grace. And if you're not a believer, pray for mercy. Pray for forgiveness. God's great grace to you should lead you to thankfulness. We should be cultivating Christ-like behavior in the power of the Spirit. But the credit for all the good in your life goes to God. Ye who confess Christ's holy name to God, give praise and glory. Ye who the Father's power proclaim to God, give praise and glory. All idols underfoot be trod. The Lord is God. The Lord is God. To God, all praise and glory. Amen. Let us pray.